Man Fiction Theatre.
If you would like to have a nickname this time, I am letting you know right now that it's Big Boy.
Hey, Zero was a nice nickname.
It didn't dawn on me until I was listening to the episode.
Zero.
Yeah, didn't click.
Yeah.
I thought you were just calling yourself Zero, like the number.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not that cool.
You're not that cool, you dork.
I thought you were the kid from Holes.
Digger
you got
Digger up.
Yeah.
Two shoes, two tokens in hand. I got no respect because I'm the new man.
Got my shovel, shoes full of sand. Check out the tag, the name is Caveman.
I'm keeping all of this in. Welcome, everyone, to Fan Fiction Theater, the podcast where we do, I say dramatic readings of fan fiction, but really they're just, you know, readings.
The commentative
readings of fan fiction. I'm Zach. I don't get to have a nickname. To my left.
I'm Faina. I would prefer not to have a nickname, but I will tentatively accept one. Leaving that on the table.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I'm Stanley Yelnats. A.K.A. Demery.
Hi. I'll be Anthony for this episode, played by Tom Cruise.
Sweetie, your teeth are too symmetrical for you to be Tom Cruise.
Oh, no. Guys, I went a little nuts. I have 29 options.
I've got about 4 options in front of me right now.
Okay, but one of them, he just told me like the main theme of it, and it's amazing. And he also didn't read one last time.
He didn't read the one last time, so I definitely think Anthony should read this time.
Oh, should we talk about what we're doing?
Oh.
What is this podcast about?
So in this podcast, we find fan fiction, the good, the bad, the weird. And we just do readings of it. We add some fun commentary of it. We just because it is only the second episode, just to remind people, we do have some rules for the fan fiction. One of the biggest ones is that because we're not here to make fun of people who write fan fiction, we're all fan fiction lovers. I've written some. We all have secretly written some here at this table. We just know that some fan fiction is just funny. The biggest rule is that it has to be older than 5 years old, mainly so that we can allow the author to grow as an author and show that kind of thing. And also because then it's an abandoned project, most of them, because I go to like the last page and work my way up so that I'm going, I went back to like 1998 and
one. And also, so like we're laughing at it, but we're not putting somebody down because we all used to fucking suck at writing.
Yes.
So we're putting a little space in.
Yeah, and that's for
So we're putting a little space in so that there was time to grow, so we're not discouraging people actively in the present.
Yes. Right. And the only downside to this is, unfortunately, we will not be reading any Bluey or Miraculous fanfiction.
That's true. But we'll get as close as possible. We're also going to avoid, we are going to skip some more of the spicier parts of any fan fiction, just because that's not this kind of podcast.
I tried to explain that rule to someone earlier, and I think the best way to describe it is just, we're gonna skip what we don't feel comfortable reading aloud.
Yeah. We'll know that line when we get there.
Yeah.
There's no real like set fandom we're sticking with. Like, we're finding the popular stuff, but also I went for ones I just thought would be hilarious.
Yeah.
To like read a fan fiction of. But yeah, I think those are kind of the rules. That's what we're doing here. Is there anything else before we start?
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Pretending like we didn't talk for 2 hours before we started.
It was all very business-like too. No funny business.
Super business.
We're the most.
You would love
business. It is the American way.
Sam.
Oh, it is the British way.
Good. Yes, this is the audio drama Muppets Christmas Carol.
Hi, I am Charles Dickens.
And I am Rizzo the Rat.
I'm so upset that you all know so much of this.
Yeah, no, honestly, if it were just me and Zach, we could probably just rereading.
I'm so unnerved.
We would probably just be reading Muppet Christmas Carol fan fiction.
That's true. But if it were just me, it would only be Emperor's New Groove. So
So we have friends here.
Yes. There's a reason for friends.
So, yeah. Also, need to go ahead and throw out, we don't own anything that we read. We don't own the characters. Not the authors don't own the characters either. Anthony didn't get to read last time, so we're going to start with Anthony.
Okay. I had one, and I thought it would be a really good thing to just bring to the table. And I was talking with Faina about it a little bit before. I found a Stephen King meets Stephen King's Carrie meets Star Wars fanfic that I thought would be great, but I just skimmed through it, and none of the Star Wars content is there. It's just the prologue, and there's no following chapters, which kind of bummed me out, because
that is
a bit
of a bummer.
Right? Yeah.
That is, I mean,
it said in relationships, Carrie and Darth Maul. I was there for it. But again, just skimming through it, there was
worst prom date ever.
I know.
There was no. There's no Star Wars.
Best prom date ever.
There was just no Star Wars content in it, so it almost felt weird picking on a psychic girl who could kill me if I'm going to read her.
Yeah, that would make you the villain of Carrie.
So I'm not. I'm still bummed out, but I'm not as upset, because I still get to talk about one of my favorite topics today, and I brought in a Scooby-Doo fanfic.
A Scooby-Doo? I thought we were going Digimon, for sure. I totally thought we were about to
and
say
Digimon. And I would have brought some good Digimon content today.
But that's all sexy times.
It's very uncomfortable sexy times in Digimon. There would be way too much bestiality in Digimon content to feel comfortable bringing it to the table.
I like that you said too much bestiality content.
There is a line.
Song is acceptable.
There is a line.
Beauty and the Beast.
But they didn't bone.
As far as you're aware,
I don't want to know what version you're watching.
The original French.
Oh God. Not the French.
Oh, that one. That
the
one.
French will.
It gets spicy.
We love France.
I was about to say we're never going to get a demographic in France.
France, we love you. Come on the show. Okay, so I brought a Scooby-Doo fanfic today. Okay. It comes to us from the grand old year.
That's
because
we're hot. It comes to us.
Good job, honey. You got it.
Our Scooby-Doo fanfiction was originally published in 2009 and was written by Escrit. Escritoirezel.
Let me see that.
That's a dangerous name.
Escritoirezel.
Escritoirezel.
Next hour and a half of the podcast is all of us just trying to say this name. What's it? Where is it at?
Underneath the title.
Oh. Escritoirezel.
Wow, we really are pissing off the French tonight. Did you want to give it a shot, Demi?
Yeah, we might as well. Ever was one of us.
She's trying.
You're trying so
hard. She got
hard.
The thinking. You can see the cogs turning in her head.
Escritoirezel.
Yeah, there. That's
awesome.
It.
Okay.
All right.
The fanfic is called "Haunting Things" in parentheses, real and fake. Close parentheses. It says that it's a fanfic of both Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, the 1969 TV show, and the movie Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
Which was the best
movie.
I will agree that it is probably the best. I have a personal love for Alien Invasion.
And I am a sucker for Phantasaur.
Legend of the Phantasaur is an amazing Scooby-Doo movie.
What was the one with the three, like, the rocker chicks?
You're thinking of
Hex Girls?
You're thinking of Witch's Ghost.
Hex Girls, yeah, that was
and
it.
Tim Curry.
Yeah, that's it. No, Zombie Island is still the best for me.
We stand the Hex Girls.
We stand the Hex.
At this table.
Next t-shirt.
We stand the Hex Girls.
Hex Girls, we love you. Come on the show.
There's a one-sentence summary underneath it that says, just as mysteries must be solved, some secrets must be kept.
Ooh.
I know, spooky.
Cue the bats.
Under the notes, it says it was made for someone with the title Wake Up New. Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. So it was made for somebody whose, like, online name is Wake Up New?
Correct.
Interesting.
Fan fiction is a community
That's
fight.
Right. They love each other.
They really do.
All right. Uh-huh. All right. Cue the bats. Cue the theme song.
Scooby-Doo. That's all we can afford.
We love you, Frank Sinatra. Come on the show.
Oh, my God.
All right.
What?
You know how Scooby-Doo's name was invented, right?
No.
Yeah, the one of the producers of Scooby-Doo was on an airplane. He was on a red eye, and over the plane speakers, they were doing the song Strangers in the Night by Frank Sinatra. And in that song, he scats a little bit. He goes, Dooby-Dooby-Doo. And so that's where they came up with the name Scooby-Doo, because he was originally a dog called Too Much.
No.
Same.
He was, yeah.
No. I'm not saying no as in I disagree with you. That isn't correct. I'm saying no, that's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea. That's why they went with Scooby-Doo.
Too be much. It's all too much. It's too much for all of us. Too be much. It's all too much.
I'm just going to stay in bed now.
All right, let's get started with our very first podcast of the evening.
It's like Timmy be able to breathe again.
Yep.
Yes.
You see an eerie light, and if the moon is right, we just might see a monster.
Is that a Hex Girls line? I think that's a Hex Girls line.
It seems like a Hex. That's yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Before, written in italics, of course.
Oh, no.
The fire crackles and pops, shooting off sparks high into the air. Velma tips back her head and watches them fly up into the darkness. It's not supposed to rain. She watched the weather forecast before they left and calculated her own, too.
She's a amateur meteorologist.
Absolutely.
I believe it.
A teenage amateur meteorologist.
What, she like 12? Yeah, that's fine.
Still, there are clouds hiding the stars, and a strange darkness settles over their camp. Or perhaps not so strange.
Which one is it? Can't be both.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I can't do this anymore, Daphne says. Velma didn't expect it. Not exactly. She hasn't been sitting and waiting for the announcement while everyone toasted hot dogs and marshmallows over the flames, but she knows how unhappy Daphne's been lately.
That's what I was thinking. Toasting hot dogs. To hot dogs!
To hot dogs.
With my Klingon mug.
Yeah,
of course. We're only camping for one night, Fred says with a little chuckle. It's slightly condescending, as always, but maybe that's just her interpretation.
Fred's a ass. It's slightly condescending, as always.
She likes Fred enough, but has never thought him good enough for Daphne, nor has she ever seen him treat her the way that she deserves. Not camping, Daphne stares into the fire, her hands clasped together, resting on her knees. Solving mysteries, unmasking false monsters, and unveiling fake ghosts. I'm leaving Mystery Inc. It is telling that though the others all appear shocked, no one speaks up right away. No one begs her to stay. No one claims that Mystery Inc. won't survive without her. Not because it will survive, but because it seems they all feel the same way. Even Velma.
So clearly this isn't Crazy Daphne. This is OG
no.
Daphne.
Yes, Crazy okay. Daphne does make the best Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
She looks to the sky again, but the stars are covered and dark. Even when everyone else is sloppy.
Wait, who's yeah. Velma's looking at the sky again.
Yes.
So this is all in Velma's perspective.
Yes, we're looking through Velma's perspective right now.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is before Zombie Island. So
I'm
this
guessing
is,
so, yeah.
Yes. So this is like before they do the breakup.
Yes.
Bits. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
Even when everyone else is happy, even when everyone else is sloppy and relaxed, Daphne looks elegant. How she manages that out of the middle of the woods when they've been camping together for days, Velma will never know. How she manages that when she's just woken up, Velma wishes she knew. Velma herself has tossed and turned for hours. She can feel the mess of her hair and knows her clothes are wrinkled and dirty and displaced. She grabs her glasses and shoves them on, then sits up.
You know there's something called laundry, right? Sorry.
They're out camping. They're in a tent.
There's a river, I'm sure.
Yeah, and there's a rock. There's no excuses.
God, Velma, come on.
The clouds have blown away without releasing the water they carry. The moon is but a pale sliver in the darkness, but the stars are too numerous to count.
Someone just did a creative writing class.
Like, really romantic.
Daphne comes to her while the others sleep, or at least pretends.
Yeah, she does.
Or at least pretend to peacefully rest. And she is beautiful in the vague light, a pale slip of a girl who is almost a woman, serene with her hair bound back.
Nope, there's a line. We reached a line.
What line have we reached?
It is my line. I don't like to hear the words, she is almost a woman, in the same sentence where they're talking about how gorgeous she is.
She's a slip of a girl.
That's yeah.
Fair. They'll get adults soon, I think.
Yeah, great.
Serene. Adults soon. Serene with her hair bound back and her little silk camisole. I'm sorry, she says and sits down at the end of Velma's sleeping bag. I know you're sad. Why? Velma asks.
Why?
It's italicized. I gave it some oomph.
One of your longest friends is leaving forever. Why am I sad?
Velma don't give a fuck.
Velma don't care.
She wishes she had the words for what she's feeling. Why are you leaving me isn't quite right, nor is why don't you love me.
Is horny.
No, that's the word.
But both are as true as they are incorrect for what she wants to say. I want something real. Daphne holds her hands out in front of her, palms down, her fingers spread wide.
All of us are tested.
We all gotta practice it now.
Just to see what it looks like, okay?
I think we've achieved the effect.
She stares at them, and Velma does too. Her perfect nails, carefully shaped but not polished, because there's no way to keep them perfectly polished doing the job they do.
Unless you're animated.
I'm tired of false leads and fake monsters and masks and all the lies we uncover with every job. We're real, Velma says, and yes, technically that is true, but it's still not exactly what she means. Oh, honey, I know.
Okay.
Daphne scoots closer and puts her head on Velma's shoulder. She takes one of Velma's hands.
Scooting? And... What is a scooting word? Is that something dirty the kids do now?
She takes one of Velma's hands and slips her fingers together. Her palm is warm, her skin soft. Velma closes her eyes and tilts her head against Daphne's. Maybe she can pretend, just once more. You're my best friend, Daphne says. It's nothing Velma doesn't already know, but in that moment, in the near darkness with the blanket of stars overhead and Daphne's body so soft and warm next to her, Velma thinks it's very nearly the greatest thing in the world.
Hey, Demery, you're my best friend.
Lainey, you're my best friend.
Hot.
I'm going to miss
you.
Why'd you
motion to me? Why can't I be Daphne?
Why can't you be Daphne?
Because...
I would argue that I am Daphne because I am also into dumb, basic white boys.
Like Zoinks, Demery. That's great.
Shaggy is not basic.
No, he is not basic.
That's why
I'm
Daphne.
No, actually, I'm sorry. I disagree. Shaggy is the most basic. He has one goal, and he always achieves it, and he is always happy.
But he's a stoner boy, okay? A basic boy.
The way you're defending
is different.
Him is very...
Because you know why? It's because I always go for Freddy's, but only Shaggy's want me. So I've got to make him seem less bad.
Okay, where was I? All right,
Velma was coming to the conclusion. Yep.
Velma was saying, I'm going to miss you so much. Miss this so much. The in-between times when there is nothing fake. No lies. It's just all of us and the truth. Guilt twists Velma's stomach, but she ignores it. Hers is a necessary lie. And in truth, not a lie at all. Simply a secret buried deep. How deep?
How deep?
Hers is a necessary lie, but it's not a lie. Make up your fucking mind.
It's familiar, but it's not familiar. It's a lie, but it's not a lie.
At first, Daphne...
They're friends, but they're not friends.
Oh, this is actually a Lovecraftian horror where everything is kind of just floating in a liminal space where it is or is not. The title of this was Schrodinger.
Was haunting
Schrodinger's
things real.
Schrodinger's haunting.
Schrodinger's... Great Dane.
Schrodinger's Great Dane. Okay. All right. So
okay.
So Velma's horny.
Velma's horny. All right. we're moving forward now.
At first, T-shirt.
We're moving forward now. Is
oh no, no, Velma's horny.
Velma's horny.
Let sure. us know in the comments.
At first, Daphne sends emails every week, sometimes a short note every day. Velma responds frequently.
Oh, she's gone.
Yeah, she's oh, oh she's yeah, gone. We moved on. Oh, okay. I told you, we moved on.
We were talking
on.
About Velma being horny when we got to the time skip.
Yeah, oh, yeah okay. there's I missed the time skip. Yeah. Okay, gotcha, time skip.
At first, Daphne sends emails every week, sometimes a short note every day. Velma responds frequently, though not as often as she'd like, not as detailed as she'd like. Eventually, they both get too busy, classes taking over their lives, and later work. Velma tries a few different majors before she settles on business.
I thought for sure she was going to go meteorology.
Yeah, right?
Science and math seem the best places for her, but they remind her too much of all the machines she built
for
Mystery Inc.
You can't afford to do science and math unless you have money. So yes, business is the right choice.
Business. All the ways she used her skills to solve mysteries and reveal monsters.
Let's
all the things
get
which...
down to business.
All the things which drove Daphne away in the end, false terror and secrets and lies. She's not sure why she decided to learn how to operate a small business, nor why she ends up opening a mystery bookstore. She says, when asked, that after growing up solving mysteries, selling them is the next best thing. Secretly, she thinks she's a masochist.
What a niche. I'm sorry. I'm.
Did you watch Zombie Island?
No.
Velma owns a bookstore at the beginning.
A mystery bookstore.
Yeah, she owns a mystery bookstore at the beginning of the movie.
Cool, so we're treating this like Twilight, where no, I've not seen it.
Yes, that's right.
What a niche.
Yeah.
Things elsewhere. Nothing more. To try not
have you seen Witch's Ghost?
Or is this another Scooby movie?
Yeah.
No. Alien and the answer is nope.
You've seen no Scooby
movies?
Hold on,
are you, name another one.
Cyberchase.
No. Name another one.
Alien
no.
Invasion. Okay.
What about the live action one?
No. Oh, wait. Yeah, I did. I was too excited to say no.
Note to self, we have to show Demery all the Stenstrom Scooby-Doo movies.
Sweetie, we need to show Demery
all the movies.
So Daphne opened up a terrible business.
Yes. Yep. I think there's another time skip here because there's just
so
a dash in the middle there. Velma watches Daphne's show every time it's on. By the way, Demery, Daphne is like a TV reporter now at this
like
point.
A news
like a news anchor. Yeah.
Does some kind of like specials and stuff. And Fred went with her because.
Yeah, he's the cameraman.
Because, you know, Fred.
Really? Doesn't exist without her. So,
That's her basic bitch boy. Yes.
That's right. Everyone needs a good himbo in their lives.
Exactly.
Velma watches Daphne's show every
Himbos,
time.
Himbos, come on the show. We love you.
Daphne's show every time it's on. She loves how beautiful Daphne remains and the way she smiles so bright for the camera. There's something missing in it, though, something in her eyes. She fakes being happy well, but she's not. Velma thinks, I could make her happy. But she knows it for the lie it is. Sometimes she thinks about sending an email, but it's been so long.
So Velma either knows or doesn't know everything.
It's Schrodinger's Velma.
Sometimes she thinks about sending an email, but it's been so long. Instead, she organizes her store, and once in a while, she dates. The men are nice enough. The women nicer still. None of them she loves, but it is a form of happiness, and she will take it. She has a trunk full of half-finished manuscripts as well. Detective stories all. Time skip. I think there's a time skip. There's a dash there again.
Okay, so, yeah.
We're switching scenes or time skips. When Fred calls, Velma is momentarily struck by hope, so great it nearly steals her breath. It is a false hope. She knows, of course, that Daphne may miss her and may love her, but not the way she wants.
Yeah, and Daphne sent Fred to tell her.
Ooh, hey, gang. Daphne doesn't feel the same way you do.
Ouch.
After all these years, just calling to let you know, never gonna happen.
She thinks about this for the length of a heartbeat, but she knows it doesn't matter. All she wants is to go home and Mystery Inc. The real Mystery Inc. Not her crowded, dusty, sometimes disheartening bookstore. For all its flaws, has always been home. During.
What? Wait.
No, I know.
Whoa, wait.
All she wants is to go home and Mystery Inc. The real Mystery Inc. Not her crowded, dusty.
Wait. Okay, I think I've got it.
Yeah.
all she wants is to go home and Mystery Inc.
Yeah, there's not good. I'm reading it without the punctuation because there's no punctuation there.
No, I know. But I think what the author is trying to say is that she wants
Mystery Inc. is home.
Both home and Mystery Inc.
Yeah, because it says for all its flaws, Mystery Inc., the real Mystery Inc., not her crowded, dusty, sometimes disheartened bookstore, has always been home.
Okay.
So Mystery Inc. is home. She wants to go home, and Mystery Inc. is home.
Gotcha.
Got it.
Okay.
Then it just says during. Because I think this is happening now. It's happening during the movie. During the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zombies are real. Oh, yes. And there's cat people.
Yes.
Yes, cat people.
Again, we need to show you these movies, Demery, before we do these.
That's
fanfics.
All you need to know. No. Ghosts. God. No. We. Ghosts don't. And zombies are real, and there's cat people.
Yeah. Well, I already
this
knew
time,
that.
The,
honestly,
this time,
Zombie
the
Island is supposedly
are
like the most critically the best one, but for me, it was like super duper boring.
Yeah, Faina didn't love it as much as I wanted her to love it.
Which now, one? Phantasaur was the shit.
Zombie Island.
But they talk about gumbo.
They do talk about gumbo, and I love me some gumbo.
Yes, so good.
And then there's a old
so copy the recipe. That doesn't make the whole movie good.
There's the old boat captain who talk like this there. And he turns into a cat person with a fun mustache.
The state of Louisiana, stay away from the show.
So, Creole Nico Boys?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
He look like this, and he talk like this about the gumbo and the cap. People.
I think he's falling
is
into
this
Jamaican,
racist?
And that's racist.
No, it's not. I'm talking about the gumbo.
The full moon has just barely breached the horizon when Lena comes to Velma's room.
I just want a Creole cat boy.
Don't we all?
Creole cat boys, we love you. Come on the show.
God. All right. It's already golden.
What the hell? I'm reading here.
I was just my brain picturing we're recording an episode, but we keep having to stop just a Creole cowboy. It's like eating gumbo on the sofa. So we gotta get going. Get down.
Where the big mustache there?
All right.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We can do this.
We can promise.
We can do this, gang.
All right. It's already golden and bright, and Velma takes a moment to go to the window and look out at it in the gray-black shadows of the bayou. It's a place for ghosts if they were
real.
Are
they gray or are they fucking black, Velma?
She's colorblind, Demery.
Both?
Those aren't colors.
You're right, they're gradients.
All right. She, of all people, know they are not, but sometimes she wishes, and not only because if they were, it would make Daphne happy.
My God.
She's simping so hard.
She's simping harder than Edward.
Faina, at least they're adults now. Is this happy for you? Okay.
Yes, I feel better now.
I told you they'd be happy.
They
adults
can all
soon.
Have sex now. Go forth and copulate.
Now that's a t-shirt.
That's a t-shirt.
Yes.
Beautiful, no? Lena asks and startles Velma. She's supposed to be in the kitchen finishing her dinner, but instead she stands in the doorway.
Because that's where she belongs. Right, Velma?
Zach, you are not the one to make that joke. They can make that joke. We can't make that joke.
If you saw my face, you could tell I was just as horrified that Velma would clearly state she should be in the kitchen.
But instead, she stands in the doorway, a small smile twisting her mouth. Freddy's right. She's absolutely lovely. Not that he would phrase it as such. How would Freddy say it?
You're hot.
Damn, bitch.
What does he say in the live action movie? And nerdy chicks like you turn me on too.
Damn, bitch, I want you in my kitchen.
Making gumbo. Okay.
There's a strange twist to her walk, a curving of her hips, a bend to her arms. Her eyes are wide, her lips red and full.
Just got a middle image. What a is he walking like a crab with the bit of her arms?
Freddy Krueger walking down there.
There's a sway to her hips, a bend to her arms. That's called an elbow.
He said twist or walk, and my brain said twist or walking.
There's no strange, there's a strange twist to her walk. Okay.
Oh, God.
Her eyes are wide, her lips red and full, and her skirt swishes about her legs. She crooks her finger as Velma, at Velma as she crosses the room, and Velma, despite herself, can't look away. I hate all of you right now.
I love how Demri and I are doing the come hither, but Zach is like, this is the man who lives in my finger, Zach's, Mr. Bimbo.
Zach's doing the Elmo sizing exercise from Sesame Street.
Okay.
Sorry. Yes, she says, and her voice is weak. That I think that that's her responding to Lena saying, beautiful, no? Mm. The harvest moon has long since been my favorite. Lena stops next to Velma, and her body radiates so much heat it prickles Velma's skin. She angles her body closer, lips parted, lashes lowered, every inch of her body tempting, welcoming, begging for Velma's touch.
All of us just start making the weird. And we're like, hey. Oh, man, I wish people could see that, because all of us, as he was describing it, started trying to do it, to build the mental image. Lips parted. Eh? Eyes squinting. Eh? Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. This is a $10 word right here. A frisson of horror curls through Velma.
Frisson?
For a moment, she thinks there is something inhuman in Lena's movements, the way her body bends and twists, in the curl of her smile and the bright sharpness of her teeth. Perhaps we will walk together beneath it, she says, and in the cadence of her words, should the soft southern drawl that lengthens the vowels, Velma hears an echo of something she doesn't know, something she can't quite remember.
She does not know shit.
But she knows
as
everything.
As the smart one. Lena leaves, her steps gentle, as quiet as little cat feet passing through the room, and something cold blows her skirts around her, and her long, dark hair, a chilly wind chasing her from the room. If Velma believed in monsters, she thinks she would fear Lena. She simply doesn't know why.
Lena's a cat boy.
How'd you guess?
Lena's just a woman. A beautiful
fucking liar.
A beautiful, flirtatious woman.
See,
and
when Velma does know something, she's horribly wrong.
Yes.
A beautiful, flirtatious woman, and Velma's not sure what to make of the way she winds up Fred the same way she's just wound Velma tight. That must be the problem, because there can be no monster lurking beneath her smile. Monsters, Velma knows better than anyone but the team, are not real. Bo, Lieutenant Neville, is not what she expected. It's good that he isn't the villain. It's good that having him on the show makes Daphne so happy. Mm. It's even good that he enjoys mysteries enough to make them his career twice over as a detective and as a writer. She's not so sure about the way he makes her feel. She invites him to her bookstore, and he agrees to visit her. She's decided to keep it open between solving mysteries. All she must do is hire someone to work it when she's gone. They have a
That's
week.
That's all.
They have
she got a business degree to tell her that she has to hire people to keep the store open when she's not there.
Velma.
So that she can continue making money.
Velma, it's business. All she must do is hire someone to work it when she's gone. They have a week or so while Daphne prepares.
I prefer to hire somebody to work it while I'm around.
They have a week or so while Daphne prepares Bo for the show, while they tell him their stories of unmasking monsters and how much better it is when they're real. Velma isn't certain she agrees with that, but it does make for an exciting life at least. And, real monsters or no, Mystery Inc. will always be her home. After, in italics. Daphne hooks her arm around Velma's shoulders and beams. Want to hunt
fucking
werewolves?
Tease.
Oh, want to hunt?
Jeez, Demery, just where is your fedora tonight?
M'lady. Want to hunt werewolves? She asks, and her eyes are bright with excitement. Since we have so much experience with shape-shifting humans and full moon rituals. Werewolves? Velma nudges her glasses back up her nose. You think they're real? Daphne shrugs. They're supposed to be a cursed castle and treasure, so who knows? Either way, we'll solve the mystery. That's what we do, right? She casts a sidelong glance at Velma, and her expression goes sly. Beau's coming. He thinks it will make a good book, even if it's fake. Velma's tempted. Truly she is. Beau's smart, creative, and competent. And of course, there is no real doubt, because where Mystery Inc. goes, so goes she. I suppose this means research, she says, as if some sort of horrible task, not something she loves. And perhaps silver bullets? Perhaps, Daphne echoes, laughter in her voice.
Because we're going to shoot the first person we come across, because they're clearly a werewolf. Silver bullets, we're prepared for y'all now. We'll be able to pull that mask off easier when you're dead on the ground with a bullet hole in your chest.
Jeez, gang, I wonder who's behind the mask.
Would have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for them silver bullets and those darn kids.
Instead of trying to solve mysteries, now the Mystery King goes around screaming, "Stop resisting!" and then just blasting them away.
Oh, my God. Da-da-da-da!
Puppy power!
Boom, 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 boom.
Perhaps, Daphne echoes, laughter in her voice, and squeezes Velma into a hug. The end.
Daphne's laughing about capping people.
So this was a gay tragedy. Sometimes you just want a story to not imitate life, where the aggressively bisexual girl just ends up with a straight guy, right, in the end anyway, yeah. And I'm very disappointed.
This writer was very committed to making sure she did not mess with the timeline. No, Daphne and Velma could not end up together, because that's not how it happened in the movie.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of fanfics?
I thought so.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, but not necessarily. Sometimes people just write it to elaborate on something that they already really liked.
I mean, that's all Rogue One was.
Oh, that's fair.
Star Wars fans, don't come after me.
Oh, they will.
Star Wars fans, we love you. Come on the show. All right, who's next?
Who's next?
I have one.
Okay. This one's called Infirmary Informed. It is a Harry Potter fic.
Okay.
It is a Malfoy Potter. Mm. One by Annie Maroon. Anna Maroon.
I was thinking the same thing.
So this one was written in 2012. What else was I supposed to say?
A description, if you have it, maybe?
Oh, summary. Yeah. So the summary is, Harry, to no one's surprise, is once again in the infirmary due to a potions accident. Draco is forced to watch over the patients while Madame Pomfrey steps out. He, however, only has eyes for the Savior.
Does he find Jesus after this one?
Well, it's rich jock boy and rich twink. That's all that's all this like ship is.
You're not wrong.
And that kind of bothers me.
Wait. Does Harry count as rich?
Yeah, he's got a vault full of gold.
He also has the Weasleys who keep an eye on his spending and finances.
Draco stared absently at the Gryffindor table across the Great Hall during supper one night. Parentheses, one night, all nights. Pansy never ceased to tease him about it. Close parentheses. This night, however, a certain raven-haired savior...
What kind of asshole parent names their kid Pansy?
You were on that too, huh?
I never liked that name. I kept reading it and I hated it.
Pansy Parkinson.
Which is a disease.
Parkinson.
They fucking hated
her. Set up for failure.
This night, however, a certain raven-haired savior was absent. Another potions accident had Potter in the infirmary. The blonde Slytherin lightly worried his lip without realizing it.
His lip?
What?
Yeah, when you worry something, you like mess with it.
Okay.
I just call that chewing.
I think it means to like mess with and like for it's like, yeah, like
okay.
to mess with.
Okay. All right.
Or like if you worried your hands, you'd be like wringing them and like anxiously like touching them and shit like that.
I'm learning things today.
I could have just made that up. Nobody will know.
I probably made up the Weasley thing earlier.
If you're so worried about him, started Pansy from his left, why don't you go to the infirmary and check if he'll be all right? Draco turned to her with a look that plainly said, you're joking, right? He can't hex you in there. Not with the dragon lady present, she assured him. Gosh, I'm so sorry. My accent is so off tonight, guys.
No, I love it, though. No, keep it going.
He continued staring. Pansy huffed and turned back to her food, mumbling all the while. Fine, then. Don't take my advice. Just continue on as you were. It's not like you resemble a devoted girlfriend or anything.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
Fucking got him.
Pansy's got jokes.
Draco glared
she
at her.
Apparently also has Parkinson's. Let's leave her alone, okay?
Parkinson's got jokes.
Draco glared at her. His death stare was sharply averted towards Blaze when he began laughing at her comment. Oh, but it's true, Draco, and you know it, he cackled.
Thank you for demonstrating what a cackle is, Anthony.
That wasn't even a cackle. That was a seizure. Draco sighed slowly through his nose before shaking his head and standing. He'd had enough teasing for one night. I'll see you in the common room, he murmured, then quit the hall. However, the teen didn't really feel like returning to the dungeons just yet, so instead he wandered around Hogwarts, sans destination. Sans? Yep. Sans.
Sans.
Sans. Sans.
Fuck those Slytherin kids living in the dungeon. Like, there can't be any more, like, disheartening feeling. You're done with the day. You're having a bright, beautiful day of classes in this magical world. To the dungeon with you. Fuck you, child. You are, what, 11 years old? Fuck you,
Hufflepuffs
dungeon.
Got sent to the kitchen.
Okay, I know. Okay, but,
I know.
But counterpoint.
Counterpoint.
Slytherins are known for their
ambition.
And where do people who have ambition start from?
De bottom.
That's right.
Not the dungeon. That's prison. That's like getting sent.
But they have a cool view of the lake.
From
how do you have a view of it?
Because it's not
dungeon?
An actual dungeon. They didn't literally put them in cages at the end of the night.
Are we sure?
Yes.
I'm not. Technically, it's never been described in the books. I don't believe they're actual rooms.
Yes, it was described in book 2.
Wow, I'm regretting choosing Harry Potter with you fucking nerds. His feet apparently had minds of their own and their own opinions to boot. And it seems they agree with Pansy's advice. For when Draco's thoughts next returned to the present, he discovered himself in front of the infirmary doors. Mortified, Draco spun on his heel and made to leave when Madame Pomfrey suddenly burst through the doors. Ah, oh, Mr. Malfoy, she addressed. I'm glad you're here. I have to step out for a few minutes, and I'd appreciate it if you would keep an eye on the patients until I got back.
Excuse me, small child. Welcome to the ER. I'm busy. Can you watch these sick people for me?
The expression on Dragon Lady's face left Draco no room for argument. Just make sure no one
this
else
sounds like
comes-
an online RPG with the most dire consequences.
Just make sure no one else comes in and that they all stay in their beds.
And that no one dies.
And oh, yes.
What
no
if somebody
comes
else gets
out.
Sick?
Oh, yes, Malfoy. You and Potter have a very, very blatant history of attacking one another. Could you watch him while he's sick in bed?
And with that, she was gone, leaving the startled snake behind to wonder at his misfortune. After heaving a disgruntled sigh, Draco straightened his shoulders and stepped into the infirmary. There was a first year on the bed nearest the door with what looked like hives upon her green skin. Parentheses, Draco had to wonder what had happened there. Close parentheses.
He had to. He doesn't care, but he had to wonder.
Now, all right. Nope, I'm sorry.
Dragon
are pups. We more concerned about the hives or the green? Because he seemed like, it sounded like the green was very commonplace.
You know, I don't know. I think that actually might have just been a fun little literary device to make you say, oh, hives, oh, green skin. So we're kind of, so it seems like it's like normal in that world, but we're purposely taken aback by it.
Okay.
It's magic.
Okay. I'm guessing it's dragon pox.
Fucking nerd.
A third or fourth year boy, a few beds from her.
Wait, hold on, I'm sorry. Zach, what would be the cure for dragon pox?
Dragon tails. I'm sure somewhere in the catalog of Zach's brain, the cure for dragon pox is
searching.
In there somewhere.
Searching.
That's okay. I put you on the spot. This isn't like an exam.
While Demri continues to read, we'll let the loading bar on Zach's Windows Explorer just keep loading.
A third or fourth year boy, a few beds from her on the other side of the room, was sporting some bad burns on his arms. One of the beds further
Dragon.
down.
See, what do they need her? They got me. Madam Pomfrey, you could leave. I'll watch them. Clearly dragon pox. You got burnt by a dragon. You're good. Everything's a dragon.
Everything's just rub against each other and it'll cure both. Oh,
One of the beds further down had its curtains drawn to hide the occupant from view. And near the end,
Potter.
Draco still wasn't sure on what had happened, or even how, but somehow Potter had ended up with a dangerously high fever and a really nasty cough. Slughorn had been lost and entirely unhelpful until Granger had ordered him to fire call Madame Pomfrey immediately. Not even a heartbeat after he had done so, the woman had burst into the potions classroom, diagnosed Potter, then brought him back through the flu to the infirmary in a flurry of movement. Draco hadn't seen him since.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did they call like five professors to figure out that it was the fucking flu?
Dragon flu.
Sorry. In their defense, Granger is just Hermione.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Hermione knows.
Hermione's basically a professor. Let's not pretend.
Draco hadn't seen him since. Until now, that is.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ignoring the other patients in the infirmary, Draco quietly walked over to where Potter was fitfully sleeping.
Already, like, water, not doing
water.
Shut up. Poor kid.
I think it's time for me to have my ointment again. My skin's still in hives. Not the green, though. The green's normal. Leave
I'm
that.
Not dead yet. I'm happy.
Screw you. There's a Potter. There.
His face was a contradiction of colors. Sickly pale, yet flushed with fever. Every now and then, the Gryffindor would cough harshly. He's having as hard a time deciding what color Potter's face is as Velma would.
It's Velma pale, just but fucking red. Know.
Is it gray or black?
She's a meteorologist. She should know. Every now and then, the Gryffindor would cough harshly or toss the blankets roughly from his sweating form, only to immediately pull them back up to stop his shivers. Not really considering his actions.
He needs more blankets and less blankets.
Schrodinger's blankets. Not really considering his actions beforehand, Draco pulled up a chair and sat at Potter's bedside. The other patients paid him no mind, and in return, he only paid enough attention to them in order to tell if they tried to leave their beds. The rest of him focused
on... Well, if they're dead, they'll never leave.
I think the one... Sorry, Madam Pomfrey, I think the one with hives died. I'm not really sure. I just made sure they didn't leave the bed.
I need Albus Dumbledore to come in. Why are these children dead? I don't know. I left a small child with them.
And I told him just to make sure they didn't get out of bed.
The rest of him focused on Potter's ragged breathing and quiet groans while the teen tossed and turned. Not much passed through his mind as the blonde sat there, content as he was to simply watch Potter.
Of course
Potter.
Not. He's blonde. Sorry.
She can say that. She's blonde. But then the
No, she's not.
It's like born blonde.
Yeah.
It's going to be black and like...
At one point in life, you were blonde. I'm looking now and it looks more brown, but I swear it was just fully blonde when I met you.
I had highlights then. But no, well, when I was little, I was blonde.
Little, blonde?
Yeah, that's right.
That's our theme song.
I expect you to write it for the next episode.
But then the savior's sleepily irritated groans turned into desperate ones. Potter began thrashing around, mumbling incoherently, and his black eyebrows knit together in worry.
Yeah, but did he get out of bed?
No, so it's fine.
Then okay.
Startled, Draco jumped to his feet and approached the raven cautiously, wary of being hit by a flailing limb.
The raven?
Yeah, called him the raven.
Is he referring to Harry as the Raven?
Yes.
Because
the savior.
He has black hair?
As he called Raven. Him Savior. He just called, he just, I, yeah, I think it's because he just was talking about black eyebrows and now he called him the Raven because he has black hair.
Okay.
It can't be Ravenclaw because their signal is the eagle.
And blue.
Yeah.
Quoth the Potter. Startled, Draco jumped to his feet and approached the Raven cautiously, wary of being hit by a flailing limb. But the teen's mumbling turned into coherent pleas, and the Raven realized Potter was having a nightmare.
So there is a bird in the room.
I don't think so. I think it was a typo.
Okay.
Okay.
The Slytherin.
I'm the Raven.
Oh, so they're talking about a Ravenclaw that's in the room.
No.
No?
No.
No. No. What was the first year?
Dead?
From the dragon fox.
Right.
My bad.
Draco got to his feet and he approached the Raven, so the Raven has to be Potter.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a typo that it said, and the Raven. I think it meant Draco, but I think they were desperately trying not to use the names too much, because the next line, instead of saying Draco, it says the Slytherin.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
The Slytherin cast a quick notice-me-not charm around Potter's bed so the other patients wouldn't be disturbed or spy on them.
That sounds dangerous.
I automatically fear for anyone who is under the influence of a
notice-me-not charm.
Not only are they children, but there's no consent happening right now. Magic is just fucked
Guys,
up.
I promise I went through this earlier and it doesn't get like weird, but I will admit that that sounds weird.
That's very weird.
Especially with the next sentence being...
Oh, no.
No, moaned Potter.
Yep.
However, then he goes on, Cedric, don't let go. I have to save Sirius. He continued with, I'm sorry, and not my faults. More and more names, parentheses, Fred, Colin, Remus, Tonks, even Snape.
But they're
much
not
to Draco's
dead
surprise.
Yet.
Many of them aren't dead yet. Yeah.
I am not dead,
dead
yet.
They're not oh, dead not yet. Are they getting called out?
Close parentheses, passed from Potter's ashen lips as Draco tried to figure out how to wake the teen.
Slap.
Then he suddenly stilled and whispered solemnly, I open at the close. I'm about to die. Draco jolted at that, but he forcibly shoved it to the back of his mind to contemplate at a later date in order to concentrate. Finally, Draco simply sat on the edge of Potter's bed and lightly shook the catatonic teen's shoulders.
Wait, is this supposed to take... This must be taking place after the books and they both got to go back to school.
Summer school at Hogwarts after book six?
Like, no, I'm to seven. Like, everything is done, because that would explain all the dead people. Mm-hmm. And why maybe Malfoy's so chill. But that also just means that Madame Pomfrey was like, hello, known assassin. Please watch these children.
Okay, I get that. I guess they're non-traditional students because they didn't get to...
Right, they're finishing school. Yeah.
No one in Hogwarts
they took a
actually
gap year.
Got to, no one in Hogwarts actually got us that last year.
Yeah, they took a gap year. Okay, sorry, continue.
Oh, sorry, I was scrolling back up to like the notes and seeing if it says.
Back to school?
Yes, he was allowed to go back.
Until they all started beating him up on the first day and then he left.
Or that might have been a different fan fiction. Okay. I don't know. J.K. Rowling started making her own fan fiction at some point. I kind of lost track.
Okay, then.
Sorry, I was scrolling up to see if like maybe any author's notes said when it takes place, and they don't.
Okay, so, all right.
It doesn't read.
That's fine. He's also a Raven.
Yes, he's also a Raven. Draco jolted at that, but he forcibly shoved it to the back of his mind to contemplate at a later date in order to concentrate. Finally, Draco simply sat on the edge of Potter's bed and lightly shook the catatonic teen's shoulders. Potter, he called. Wake up! Come on, Potter! Wake up! Potter's words repeated themselves in the blonde's head, and his breathing began to speed up in growing panic. I am about to die. Potter wasn't moving. Potter! He yelled, giving him a solid shake. Nothing. A sudden idea occurred to him then.
Slap him.
Kiss him.
Draco leaned in closer,
no!
hovering slightly over the prone form. Harry, he quietly murmured.
I'm
wake
Hermione.
Up.
just... I'm Jenny. Just go with it.
Wake
it's
up.
Me, your best friend, Ron.
Wake up now, Harry. Come on. Open your eyes. The war is over, Harry. It's all right.
Oh. We're all so proud of ourselves.
The raven finally stirred, and Draco forgot to pull away before he opened his eyes. Killing Curse Green blinked blearily in the light of the infirmary. Draco watched confusion flicker in those expressive eyes of Potter's before realization dawned. His two pale lips pursed in a frown and unfocused eyes cast about the room, presumably in search of whatever had caused Potter to wake. Eventually, his gaze settled on Draco. Potter opened his mouth but said nothing for several heartbeats. Finally, "Malfoy?" he rasped. "That is my name. I'm glad you haven't forgotten,
Potter."
Don't wear it out. Draco smirked vaguely. His heart was still pounding from the scare Potter had just given him. A small, tired smile found its way onto Potter's face as he croaked, "How could I forget? How come you're here? Pomfrey's got me...
I know some nurse put me in charge."
"Pomfrey's got me watching the patients for her till she gets back," Draco answered honestly, seeing no point in lying. He'd have asked the same question if their positions were reversed, really. "Did you wake me?" he queried, his pained voice laced with confusion as he reached for his glasses, which were situated on the bedside table. "You were having a nightmare, Potter," Draco answered, without thinking. He hurriedly added, "It was annoying." Potter didn't seem to hear the last, instead focusing on his mention of a nightmare. "I didn't scream, did I?" he grimaced.
"Oh, like a banshee, baby."
"No. What? Did you really die, Potter?" Draco blurted unthinkingly, and his cheeks burned from the sudden embarrassment. Potter stared at him for a long, drawn-out moment before slowly nodding. Draco's heart clenched painfully tight at the admission. "My sacrifice shielded all those in the Great Hall that I died for that night from Voldemort's curses."
Wow. Well, someone's full of himself.
They keep talking just about Harry out. As the, like, savior. We got Jesus Potter over here.
"I survived because he had killed the part of his soul that he had accidentally left in my scar." It's spoilers, guys, I guess.
Just laying it all out there.
Then he tilted his head, contemplating his next words. "If it hadn't been for your mother, Malfoy. She asked me if you were alive. I answered her yes, and she told Voldemort I was dead.
Even though I had really no idea if you were."
"Malfoy, if it hadn't been for your mother, I... Would you thank her for me, please? Next time you see her?" Draco stared at the savior of the wizarding world, a million thoughts and emotions swirling and whipping about his head as he tried to formulate an appropriate response to Potter's request. His mother had saved Potter? Potter had sacrificed himself? Potter had died? Draco felt the blood drain from his face. Potter had died! He was suddenly glad that he was already sitting on the bed, because Draco wasn't sure he'd have been able to keep standing. It was the same reaction he'd had when the Dark Lord had paraded into the Great Hall with his Death Eaters, Hagrid carrying the seemingly lifeless body of Potter in their midst. Draco had nearly passed out. The despair had constricted his heart was so that had constricted his heart was so great. Then only moments later, Potter and the Dark Lord were circling each other in the middle of the hall, Potter explaining just what had led to the other wizard's downfall. Draco had never felt more relieved in all his 18 years. Draco swallowed thickly.
Legally, 18 years.
Just to make sure y'all know, legally.
And we put that in right before Draco swallows thickly. Draco swallowed thickly before managing a hoarse reply. "Why don't you think her yourself, Potter?"
Potter chuckled. "She's not here.
Come meet my mom. Come to dinner, maybe.
Marry me. Spend your life with me."
Potter chuckled weakly before breaking into a coughing fit. When they subsided, he hummed, "If I see her, of course I will. But I'd like her to at least know that I'm grateful of the risk she took in lying to Voldemort."
See, when he says he hummed, I just imagine him going,
"Yes?
Are any of you
What's
still
What's that word? Which word? That one, the long one. I knew that. Cut that out, Zach."
Okay.
Draco nodded, acquiescing the point. Isn't it cool how I knew that word all by myself? I think
See,
that's really neat.
You got a $10 word, too. I got, what was it, frisian?
Frisian.
Frisian and acquiesce. All right.
They were silent for a few moments. It was not uncomfortable. Finally, Potter was the one to break it. "So," he trailed, "why are you still here if you only woke me up because I was annoying?"
"I have to keep the students alive."
"They had to stay in bed."
"So, what's your sign?" "He's a Cancer."
"Oh no, that's what's wrong with him?"
"No, no. Harry? Harry's a yeah. Cancer, yeah.
Dragon flu."
Drake, I was just thinking about how I hate that you know that Harry's a Cancer. Anyway.
He was born
anyway.
In July, right?
Yeah.
I was born in July. I was born in July. That's the only reason I know that July is Cancer.
I find your knowledge insufferable. Draco turned his face away from the teen to hide the blush.
She says it to me, but Zach's the one over here acting a fucking nerd.
Draco turned his face away from the
dragon nerd.
It's different. He doesn't know the fucking dragon sign.
Oh my god. We could probably figure it out.
When was the dragon born?
Sagittarius. Skyrim.
You fucking nerd.
Anybody? Anybody else?
What?
He said, "When was the dragon born?" And I said, "Skyrim." I'm a cool gamer girl. Hi, very single cool. Gamer boys out there listening. I'm a cool gamer girl. And
as long as you're not a Shaggy.
Yeah, non-Shaggy, cool gamer boys. It's debatable if you are a cat boy.
Creole cat boy himbos.
Talking
Creole
about the gumbo.
We really do need to find Demery a nice himbo.
Yes.
In the comments, sound up.
That's why we started this podcast.
This is just a dating show for Demery. Himbos, we love you.
Meet Demery.
Send your resumes too.
And headshots. Don't forget your headshots or we will not accept.
We're accepting video auditions only, and then we'll be doing callbacks.
No. They did that in the 80s. We all know that was a bad idea. We won't be doing that.
So anyway, Draco turned his face away from the teen to hide the blush he knew was on his cheeks. "Better you than that fourth year or the first year over there."
"They're underage."
Potter's reply was cut off by a loud yawn from said teen. He then smiled sheepishly at the Slytherin, an apology in his brilliant green eyes. Draco rolled his own silver ones. "Get some rest then, Potter," he advised.
Yeah.
Draco paused before adding, "That way you can replace Blaze as my partner tomorrow in defense. That boy stares at Finnegan too much to pay attention to what spells he's firing off and where." Everyone's so gay here. This is gay Hogwarts.
He fires off so poorly. I need you to fire off on me, Harry.
I have come to the conclusion that you should be my partner.
I don't remember any of this in Cursed Child.
Oh, God.
Potter laughed tiredly. Do you think Rowling would like this fic?
No.
I like to think she would.
It's anyway. Probably in the next one she writes.
Potter laughed tiredly, but he seemed genuinely amused by Draco's observation.
Yeah, Blaze is awful.
It made the blonde smile lightly in adoration of the raven-haired teen. "You sound like you're trying to be rid of me, Malfoy," he started. "But you can't really leave until Madame Pomfrey gets back, right?"
"But you can't really tell."
He chuckled again. Draco pouted. "Shut up, Potter." The lion obeyed. But only...
Oh, no.
A roar.
The lion obeyed, but only because he seemed to be thinking something over. Draco noticed his eyes were drooping while Potter, though, thought,
"Is he having a stroke?"
And his head would slowly sag just a bit before the teen caught it and straightened up again. Smirking, Draco repeated himself, "Get some rest, you git." Potter wrinkled his nose at the suggestion, but did indeed remove his glasses before settling deeper into bed. "Malfoy," he started, only to pause. Draco watched him silently as Potter tried to sort
Can
his feverish mind.
"Can you give me a glass of water?
Can you tell me a story? Can you tell me about the time you tried to kill me?"
"Can you check for dragons under the bed?"
I I still have your wand, Malfoy. Do you want it back?
Hey! Harry's been holding on to that wand for a long time.
I know a couple new spells.
Draco gasped quietly at the question, his heart giving a small jolt. Potter gave a weak laugh before telling him, "If you remind me tomorrow, I have it in my trunk in the dorms. I fixed my holly wand, you know." Potter smiled brightly at that. Draco merely shook his head at the teen. "Malfoy, no." He stopped. Draco tilted his head in curiosity. Potter lifted a shaking hand in Draco's direction and said, "Hi, I'm Harry Potter."
What?
I think I lost.
Potter lifted a shaking hand in Draco's direction and said, "Hi!" Exclamation point. "I'm Harry Potter!" Exclamation point.
We're starting over. 8 years later.
What you don't know is that dragon flu eats at the brain until you have nothing left. So right now, he's an 11-year-old boy again.
Staring at the lion, Draco was utterly baffled. Had the teen cracked Same. Just now?
Yes.
What? "It's nice to meet you," Potter continued, and Draco suddenly realized what he was trying to do. A warm feeling settled in Draco's chest. He clasped Potter's hand in his and shook it lightly, mindful of the teen's temporary fragility. "Draco Malfoy, the pleasure is all mine, Potter." "Harry." Draco smiled happily at the lion's correction. "And in turn, you must call me Draco. Harry," he tried. Potter, Harry, smiled. "Draco," he whispered, trying
Harry.
It out himself. His smile grew before he finally closed his eyes. Then, so quietly that the Slytherin had to lean closer in order to hear him, Harry asked, "Draco, will you stay with me for a while?"
I don't know, Harry. Don't want to go making friends with the wrong sort.
I got the reference. Yeah.
His tone was light and undemanding, yet Draco felt compelled to listen. Neither had let go of the other's hand. Draco liked the feeling of Harry's hand in his, even if his temperature was too high and his skin was left feeling a tad clammy. "Why not?" he whispered. And he watched over Harry as his labored breathing eventually evened out.
And all the kids around them died.
But they didn't get out of bed.
That's what's important. His labored breathing eventually evened out, their still joined hands resting upon the bedsheets. Draco's heart was still beating heavily in his ears as he stared at the beautiful boy. They have all joined hands at the table. As he stared at the beautiful boy who had saved the world. With a deep breath, he smiled happily. Zach is now dancing as he holds Fiena and Anthony's hands. His smiled happily and silently made a wish for his new friend. Sweet dreams, Harry. The end.
That was cute.
That was cute.
No,
and full of dragons.
Except for all those kids who
died. Except for the child killing.
The rampant negligence.
I mean,
Madame Pomfrey never came back.
No.
I think she quit.
I would have. We're going to Hogwarts for as long as she did. I would have fucking quit, too.
All right. We're going to do one more.
Okay.
But I'm going to let you guys pick.
Uh-oh.
So we have Chronicles of Narnia, Phineas and Ferb,
ooh,
Blue's Clues,
bow, 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 bow.
Mario.
With Blue's Clues, we can all make the sound the whole time, and bow, that bow, sounds bow, like bow, a bow. Good time to me.
So we're going to go with the Handy Dandy Notebook by People Persons of Doom.
Doom?
Well, capital D, lowercase zero, lowercase zero, capital M.
Okay.
So, well, actually, and there's a space between of and doom, so it's People Persons of Doom.
Doom.
This does have, hold on, does this have multiple chapters? No. No, it does not. Okay. It's very short. The Handy Dandy Notebook by People Persons of Doom. See, this came out in 2009. And the description says, Steve finds out that his notebook is more handy dandy than he once thought.
Oh, no.
When he discovers that he can use it to kill people.
with this new
Oh, it's a death note. It's Blue's Clues death note.
With this new ability, how far will Steve go to make the world a better place? Will anyone stop him? It's literally 721 words.
Do you have a clue?
I don't think the person finished it. So, chapter one, discovery. It was a seemingly average day for the cast of Blue's Clues. Steve had just found the final clue, the paw print that had been on Tickety. So Steve went on and proceeded to draw a picture of Tickety in his handy-dandy notebook. Afterwards, Steve went to the thinking chair to sort things out.
Better sit on the thinking chair and think.
Think. We can't sing.
Yeah, we can.
We can.
Think.
That won't get away with. Okay. Steve can come after me. I don't care.
Steve, we love you. Come on the show.
So what could Blue want to do with an apple, ladder, and Tickety? Steve asked. Steve was cut off by a loud shriek from the bedroom. Oh my, what was that? We better go see. Steve took off jogging to the bedroom. What he saw wasn't pretty.
Uh-oh.
Tickety, who had been standing on a nightstand, now knocked over, lying flat on her back. Tickety? Tickety? Tickety!
Steve, what have you done?
Yelled Steve. He attempted to stand her back up, but she fell over again. Her eyes wouldn't open. Steve became anxious and worried. Help! Someone call 911! Called Steve to anyone that would hear. You know, Mr. Salt could pick up the phone.
No, I figure the phone can pick up the phone.
The ambulance had taken Tickety away, and everyone at the house had gotten the call that she couldn't be revived the next day. Tickety dead.
Wait, so did they
take... It's a fucking clock.
They took her to, like, a clockmaker, right?
But no, the doctors said she had died of a heart attack.
What?
I like to think that at this hospital, the waiting room is full and all of the staff is just trying to revive this fucking clock.
No one had taken the news well, and they were making arrangements for the funeral. It was a long and mournful day.
Someone has to how does pepper and salt explain death to paprika?
Well, honey,
the same way that they'd explain the birds and the bees to paprika.
Well,
I guess.
Honey, one day all of us are going to be empty. It's just part of nature. But we're Buddhists, which means we believe that we can be refilled.
God, I need a whole Blue's Clues episode with Steve.
Describing the anatomy of every individual.
Describing death with Blue putting paw prints like all over the place, and they find a paw print in a cemetery.
Oh my God.
So Steve went to his room in tears.
A clue.
Steve went to his room in tears and locked himself in. He was still trying to grasp the fact that Tickety was dead and gone. How the heck could that have happened? She was healthy. Well, healthy enough for a clock.
The hands of
what
time.
What is that supposed to mean?
The hands of time were not ready for her.
Is the clock a chronic smoker? Did he have lymphoma? What is this? He
thought it's time to wake up, Steve.
He thought back to the earlier events of the previous day. Everything had been normal right up until he wrote the final clue in his handy-dandy notebook. Wait.
Do you think they're connected?
The final clue he wrote in it was Tickety. That was weird.
That is weird.
Was this some sort of coincidence? Yeah, it had to be. But what if it wasn't?
Does Steve believe in coincidences?
It was an insane leap of logic, even for Steve. But what if
we all know he's fucking batshit, so that's saying something.
But what if when he drew the picture of Tickety, she died? No way. That was silly. But just had to make sure he was going to test it out.
Oh, God.
No, now we're getting into... Who wouldn't matter to this show anymore if they disappeared, thought Steve.
Oh, God. So we are a show then.
I was devastated when I found out that Steve, the actual actor, did not write or draw anything on the handy-dandy notebook. Oh. Yeah, they got actual people to do
so
it.
So it's not Steve murdering people.
It's whoever they hired to be
the
hand
guys they hired.
Who wouldn't matter to the show anymore if they disappeared, thought Steve. He got it. He took out his handy-dandy notebook and crayon and carefully started to sketch a picture. Once he finished, he leaned against his door, waiting to see if there were any results. After a while, he heard nothing. so he just regarded the whole thing as stupid and ridiculous. Ah! Steve heard the cry from downstairs. He opened his door and ran down. What happened? Miss Salt came out of the bathroom, wailing and screaming.
Miss Salt? It's Mr. Salt and Miss Pepper.
Well, fine. It's Miss Pepper. Yes. Miss Salt.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused about. Is like, oh, there is no Miss Salt. There's a Mr. Salt and a Miss Pepper.
The R and the S aren't too far away from each other.
Miss Salt.
I don't know.
I need to point out the fact that
Salt is
Steve,
the boy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to point out the fact real quick that Steve chose someone. Like, he was testing this out.
Yeah.
And he thought.
You're about to find out who he thought.
Yeah, no, he was like, who's least important?
Right, I know, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, no.
He was making a choice.
This person totally got
testing something out.
This person totally got them backwards. So
okay.
Miss Salt came out of the bathroom wailing and screaming. It's Slippery. Slippery is dead. She cried. Mr. Pepper ran over to comfort her.
Yeah. Yeah, they did fuck
Steve
it up.
Steve couldn't believe
it. How dare this fully developed, not fully, they're probably a teenager. How dare this teenager not perfectly remember Blue's Clues?
Steve couldn't believe it. It actually worked. In his saddest voice he could muster, Steve said, "Call the medics."
Wait,
he trotted up
fucking,
back to his bedroom and shut the door behind him tightly.
It's not like a clock, though, right? A clock, when it's dead, like, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, but who's Slippery?
The soap. Slippery.
Duh.
Slippery the soap. Yeah. So all I'm saying is a clock.
He taught me how to pick out my pajamas.
And in case you guys weren't aware, Slippery is a Pisces, so.
Slippery is soap. If soap dies, it still works,
no,
right?
It had a heart attack.
I'm just saying.
Going to clean your body with a heart attack victim?
It's still fucking... the clock's not going to work. I'm going to toss the clock out. If the soap is dead... I'm not saying that I am a crazy person.
All right, so Anthony, Anthony is on record saying he would wash his body with a dead body.
Right, because this isn't just regular soap. This soap has a face.
I know.
And you had conversations with it. So you're saying, well, the soap is so dead, sure, but I can still rub my dead friend all over my body.
I don't have any living soap in my tub right now.
Hold on now, though. But we were comfortable doing this with him alive?
So,
at what least, I fucking
at least then you can see if it's consensual.
Steve's going to take a shower in the morning.
No, because he's calling the medics.
Hey, Slippery, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing Steve.
He trotted up back to his bedroom and shut the door behind him tightly. Steve couldn't believe it. It actually worked. He slumped against the door, feeling nauseous. He had actually killed two people. Two. He began to shiver. How could he live with that burden? He was tearing up, but stopped himself. Well, they were worthless side characters anyway.
What the fuck?
No one cared about them.
Sociopath Steve is kind of hot. Is he single?
Hey, this is a Shaggy.
Steve is still alive. We can ask him. Steve, we love you. Come on the show.
Yeah, they were a waste of space. The only reason why their show was watched was because of him and Blue. So maybe it wasn't such a bad thing after all.
It's like,
In fact, he had done a good deed disposing of these annoying characters.
Oh my God.
Steve thought to himself, no one else would have the guts to do what he just did. No one, no matter how much hate they possessed, would. Wait, what? No one, no matter how much they hate they possessed. No matter how much hate they possessed, would, period. I don't know. They'd call it evil in the public eye, but in the privacy of their homes, they'd want to get rid of pointless side characters.
I think the mailbox would be fucked up enough to do this.
Yes, Steve had just done what everyone wanted. Perhaps he could make it so that pointless, useless characters wouldn't exist anymore.
Okay, wait, guys, fun game. Who is the pointless side character in your household that you...
They took away the focus of the main characters, wasting endless amounts of time. Yes, he would save people from the horrors of annoying side characters by killing them all. This would be his noble cause, to make the world a better place filled with only the goodness of main characters.
With only inanimate objects.
The end.
Yay!
Handy dandy notebook. That took a weird turn.
That was odd.
Yeah.
Jesus
I'm into
Christ.
I'm into it.
Well, yeah, so... what did we discover tonight? That Velma can't make good any decisions.
Schrodinger's Velma.
Schrodinger's Velma. Madame Pomfrey is an irresponsible nurse, mm-hmm. and Dragon Pox is running amok.
Schrodinger's uh-huh. dragon.
Mm-hmm. And we learned that Steve is a sociopath.
Yep.
Yeah.
That seems about right for fan fiction.
Yeah, that's a good cover.
So yeah, well, where can they find where we have we do have an email address that you guys can email us some of your favorite fan fictions so that we could try to gather some more to read, because we have a ton that we could read, but it's always fun to get some suggestions. What's the email address that we have that they can email us at?
You can send your fan fictions to pensivemp@gmail.com. That is pensive, PENSIVE, M as in music, P as in playing, @gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram by searching for Pensive Music Playing.
Nice. So, do we have anything special that we want to say signing off, or are we just leaving?
Oh. Happy birthday, Amory!
Oh, that's right.
Happy birthday!
She's not going to listen to this.
And especially to this point.
And it's coming out like a month after her birthday.
Yeah, also. Yeah.
We're all good siblings here.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you. Talk to you next
thank
time.
You
thank you. Thank you for listening to Fan Fiction Theater.
Thank you for listening.